while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Oh, thank you very much, Babs. It almost makes me feel like, there is nothing else to say, because you've done a very wonderful job of your leading today. Today, tradition calls it Palm Sunday. It is a week before Easter. And one thing that has intrigued me all along in my life is how we celebrate Christmas and how we celebrate Easter. If it was a week to Christmas today, this place will be full of confettis and decorations ushering in Christmas. If it was a week to Christmas, there will be frenzied talk amongst you. Everybody excited that it is Christmas. It is Christmas. If it was a week to Christmas, everybody will be thinking about the shopping they're going to do. Everybody will be thinking about what is going to be on the table. Everybody will be thinking about Christmas. It will just be Christmas. There will be talk of Christmas on the radio. There will be talk of Christmas on the television. The shops will be filled with Christmas activities, Christmas decorations, Christmas goods everywhere. Our conversations will be about Christmas. Have you finished your Christmas shopping? What gifts are you going to give to your loved ones? It is Christmas and nothing else. But today is a week to Easter. And if you don't come into church, you would not even know that it is a Palm Sunday. If you don't come into church, you would not even know that we are about to celebrate Easter. Everything is quiet. Ask yourself, you have been very quiet this morning. You haven't been excited as you should be. It is Palm Sunday. You should be waving your hands. You should be shouting hosannas. That is what you should be doing. But where are you now? All quiet and solemn. Yes, it is wonderful to celebrate Christmas, because it is the birth of the Savior of the world. It is a great thing. But I want you to know that the birth of Christ means nothing without the death of Christ. Because when Christ was born, he could have chosen not to go to the cross. But it is because he went to the cross that it makes all the difference. Look at the biblical account of how Christmas was announced. There is a sharp contrast between the announcement of Christmas and the announcement of Easter. The biblical account tells us in Luke chapter 2, 8 to 17, he was born in a lowly manger. Apart from the shepherds watching their flocks by night, whom the angel appeared to, nobody knew that Christ has been born. There was no celebration anywhere. The angel appeared to these people watching their flocks by night, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. Then the angel told them, "Today in the city of Bethlehem, a Savior is born." And at that moment, there was a big jubilation, not here on earth, but in heaven. We are told that a large number of angels came together celebrating and praising God for the birth of Jesus Christ. Nobody knew. And when the shepherds went into Jerusalem to look for the baby Jesus, they found him in a manger with his mom and dad. Nobody was around. But we make a very big deal of Christmas. Yes, it is right to celebrate because it is the birth of our Savior. In contrast to the birth, the events leading to the death of Jesus is marked with jubilation and celebration. The reading that we had this morning tells us that when they go to Bethphage, Jesus asks two of his disciples to go into town and bring him a donkey and a colt. And if anyone asks them why they're taking it, they should tell him, "The master needs it." This is the first indication of Jesus Christ telling us that he is the sovereign Lord. He is the master of everything in this world belongs to him. He is Lord of all, even the donkeys and the colt that he had never seen before belonged to him. But why the choice of a donkey? Why did he decide to ride on a donkey? This act itself is in fulfillment of the prophecy that we find in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. He is uncompromisingly just and having salvation, patient, meek, lowly, and riding on a donkey, upon a colt, a foal of a donkey." In fact, typically in Israel, riding on a horse represents power, authority, and somebody who is going into war, while riding on a donkey represents a peaceful time. In 1 Kings chapter 1, when Adonijah exalted himself king of Israel, he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him as he entered Jerusalem. But he was not the chosen king. David had already decided that Solomon was to be king. And so David instructed Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet that they should take Solomon to the outskirts of Jerusalem and sit him on his own donkey, that is David's own donkey, decorate him and anoint him as king of Israel. So they did this, anointed Solomon king of Israel, put him on the donkey, and then rode into Jerusalem, blowing the trumpet. And all the people said, Long live King Solomon. And when we continue in 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 40 tells us, all the people went after him, playing pipes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the whole earth was split by their noise, riding on a donkey. And there was great rejoicing. So much noise, it wasn't a horse. And the whole earth was split by their noise. In like manner, Jesus was sat on a donkey to make his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Most people spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut down palm branches and wave them while shouting out, "Hosanna," which comes from a Hebrew word meaning, "Save us, we pray. Hosanna, save us, we pray." Take note that this was during the Passover, when many people had come into Jerusalem. And as we heard later, earlier on, the celebration of Passover was a week-long celebration. People from all parts of Israel will converge on Jerusalem, and there will be partying. A week of partying. So this was what was happening at this time that Jesus came from Mount Olives into Jerusalem on a donkey. We learn that a large crowd was before him and a large crowd followed, all shouting Hosanna to the Son of David. This was a deliberate challenge to the Roman Empire, which at that time occupied Jerusalem and all of Israel. The Jews hated the Roman occupation. They longed for freedom from the Roman rule. And so here comes Jesus. They had heard about his miracles, his teachings, his authority over demons, his calming of the storm, his walking on water. And so they thought, this is the one we have been waiting for. They could almost taste their freedom. Finally, their Messiah was here. Their rescuer had come. So in frenzy, they shouted, "Hosanna!" This is the one who turns water into wine. This is the one who makes the blind see. This is the one who makes the lame walk. This is the one who cures the lepers. This is the one who calls people from the grave. This is the one who speaks and the winds obey him. This is the one who is the Lord of Lords. This is the one who is Jehovah. This is the one who is the Prince of Peace. This is the one who is the Lord of Lords. This is the one who is the King of Kings. This is the one who is Jesus Christ, Lord of all. And so they thought that this was their time. Jesus had come to rescue them from the Romans. The whole city was in uproar. Some people may have been familiar with Jesus, but a large number of the people didn't know who he was. So they asked, "Who is this?" And those who were familiar answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus is coming into Jerusalem on a donkey as the Prince of Peace. He was coming to lay down his life as an atonement for sin. He will accomplish the greatest act of love the world has ever known. That's the difference between what the people wanted and what Jesus came to give them. Jesus wasn't here to set up an earthly or political kingdom. Instead, he went above and beyond what the people imagined. He was a spiritual king, not an earthly one. And his victory, the ultimate victory over sin and death, will be more than freedom from their current oppressors. It will be the victory that restored all creation and made a way for every person to have a right relationship with God. But none of them understood this. Not even the disciples. Because if you go on, and read further in John. John 12:16 says, his disciples did not understand and could not comprehend the meaning of these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified and exalted, they remembered that these things had been written about him. Jesus was not a political king. Jesus was a spiritual king. He came to restore us unto the Lord. He came that we could have an open relationship with our Father. He came to defeat sin and death. He came that our lives would not be the same ever again. Perhaps it is this misunderstanding that explains why the crowd that were shouting Hosanna, Hosanna would quickly turn around and say, crucify him, crucify him. A week after, we must enthrone Jesus. We must enthrone him as the king of our hearts. Jesus' purpose was to offer the ultimate sacrifice, his own life, so that everyone and all creation could worship God in a new freedom and truth. Jesus' life purpose was to bring God's love to the world. His love bridged the gap and provided a way into the presence of God, to know him and to relate to him. Jesus, just as he entered Jerusalem with a shout of Hosanna, praise, save us, let's invite him to enter our hearts and lives. Let us shout now, pray, save us, to the one who came as a gentle, humble servant and yet won the ultimate victory. It is not enough merely to say that Jesus is the King of glory. We must make him the center of our lives. As the songwriter Michael Fry says, be my source, be my light, be my hope, be my song, be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. the people in Jerusalem, as they saw the throng of crowds coming down from the Mount of Olives, asked, "Who is this?" Today you are being asked the same question. Who is this? Jesus to you. Who is this Jesus to you? Matthew tells us in chapter 11, verse 28 onwards, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Who is this Jesus to you? Let not your hosannas cease from here. Let not your hosannas cease from here. Let this be the beginning of your hosannas. Because God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Be the salt of the earth. Be the light of the earth. Let your hosannas ring. You are the salt of the earth, but if you, the salt, loses your saltiness, then what use are you? You claim to be Christians. Go into the world and be the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. Nobody lights a light and hides it. They put it on a lampstand. They put it on a lampstand so that all could see. Let your light so shine that the world will know you as a child of Zion. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, your noble and good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You are shouting Hosanna. Is it just a mere shout? Or you have taken Jesus into your heart? Is it a mere shout? Or you have decided that Jesus is the Lord of your life? You see, for most of us, a lot of times, we make our own plans. And then we invite God into it. Instead of looking up to God and doing what he wants us to do, and that he will walk with us. Palm Sunday is a great time of jubilation. Today is a time when people should rejoice because of the salvation that was wrought for us on the cross. Today is the time that we should begin to sing Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Our hosannas should not only be for today. Our hosannas should be for the rest of our lives, because the Messiah has come to dwell in our lives. And you know what? The invitation for salvation is extended to you all. If there is any who has not received that, if there is any who has not given himself to the Father, to the Son, this is the time. After this message, you can see Pastor Deji, Pastor Manuela, or any of the leaders of this church and talk to them. Christ has opened his arms for you. He is waiting for you. Come and have rest. Come, the Lord is ready for you. A week from today, the waters of baptism is going to be opened. Do you want to be baptized? Do you want to change and put your past behind you and take up the cross and walk with Christ? Speak to Pastor Deji and Pastor Manuela about baptism. I am challenging you today that your hosannas should not only be in your hearts. Your hosannas should be in your life. Your hosannas should enable you to lead a life that others will see Christ through you. Sing Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. Amen.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.